Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey!
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, everybody. Please forgive us for being 1 minute late. We were doing a rehearsal.
We rehearsed the whole episode just for you guys.
The whole thing. We rehearsed the whole thing for 33 minutes. I don't know. That's unreasonably funny to me. Oh my gosh. So, by the way, why don't we go ahead and start off with a nice roll call and find out who is joining us from where?
Yes, we love seeing it. And of course, we've got Jeremy. Good to see you, Jeremy.
Oh my gosh, Jeremy's in the house. Thank you, Jeremy, for joining us. Oh, we got Christopher. Good morning. Lonnie. Wow. I have to say, when I see all of these names, it makes me so excited.
Same here. And I love that we're getting some of the repeat people coming back here, sharing their thoughts, telling us what's going on in their cities and in their properties and in their businesses. I love seeing those point of views.
You like us so much.
And they show up.
Whoop, whoop. Show up.
Yes, they do. Well, you were traveling a lot this week too, right?
Yeah. I don't know where I am. No, I'm kidding. I'm at home, obviously. Yeah, it's been a lot of travel, but it's nice to be back in almost sunny Los Angeles. It's been pouring here, which as anybody knows,
it's crazy.
Yeah. We're all lame. Like everybody in Southern California is like, rain. We don't know what to do. And I just get like annoyed because it's like people don't know how to drive.
Yeah, just come on down to Miami. We'll train you all for a little bit.
I know. Oh, but it just is like, oh, anyway.
But look what I got, listeners. I got it in the mail. Whoa. Hospitality Whoa. From Within, Sarah's book.
What?
And she's been helping me. I'm trying to write my book, and I'm just now looking at hers for the first time, and it is fantastic. So make sure to go on Amazon and get Sarah's book.
You are sweet. Oh, my. That was a surprise.
I had no idea. I just got it in the mail.
You're hiding it right over there. Oh, my gosh. Well, I so appreciate it. That is awesome. I did just come back from Nashville. I was at the NEWH conference, and actually this is kind of relevant. Well, I was on a panel talking about podcasting and the value that it can bring to brands. And for those that might be interested in exploring it or even just wanting to find out more information. And so it was a really great conversation and cool to see, you know, people wanting to find out more about podcasting. When's the movie coming out? Oh my God. I love this.
Thriller. Jeremy, great book. Well, you inspired me. I'm starting to write mine already. And then I'm already negotiating my first speaking engagement. So I appreciate all the support from you.
Look at this.
Go. We're stepping
TEDx,
up.
TEDx, here we come.
Stepping up the game. And I appreciate everyone that supports out there and wants to hear from us.
Yeah, no, it's, oh my gosh, wait, Jeremy, what? I literally have Sarah staring up at me every morning during my morning coffee. Oh, Jeremy, that is so sweet. That is so, oh my God. You guys are too funny. I have book number two waiting here.
Get it out of there.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so we practiced our banter. I think our banter sounded pretty good, like we did backstage.
Yeah, we rehearsed it. We rehearsed Totally kidding. We've got a good show lineup today. We're talking about a lot of cool topics and then some crazy topics, because you can't talk about what's happening in the world of hospitality and travel without something ridiculous happening. And so,
it's wild. Like, I don't understand how these things keep happening. So I'm excited to get to that part. So stick with us until we get to that part of the show.
Yeah. So should we dive into the first part of this?
I think we should. This is we're a little late on this. It's 2 week old news, but I think we need to share it with everybody.
No. I mean, it's not necessarily the first day that it came out, but it's worthwhile. So Forbes, many of us know Forbes Travel Guide. They came out a couple weeks ago, revealed their 2024 stars, their awards. I mean, it was cool because a lot of it as well too, is that they've expanded to new destinations. So they started including some hotels in Baku, Azerbaijan, Curacao, Iceland, Sardinia, Italy, Kenya, Algarve, Rwanda. I mean, oh my gosh, so many. I could go down the list. Oh, obviously Saudi Arabia as well too. They're definitely making some waves in the hotel world. It's been great to see.
Yeah, I love seeing this. And if you're out there watching right now live, I'd like to know if you were one of the Forbes rated hotels. Let us know if you were one of those. But this is the largest they've had. And now they've got over 2,000 properties worldwide. Mm-hmm. And across the globe, there's only 345 star properties.
Yep.
Which you and I have both worked at one of those. Correct. 604 star and 503 recommended hotels. Mm-hmm. And then if I go down the list, there's the 3-time winner. So the triple five diamonds.
Yes.
Only, I think they said 3 that I saw that were named this year.
Yes. Yeah, that's
so
correct.
That is 3
very unique.
Time is 5-star hotel, 5-star restaurant, 5-star spa. I got lucky to work at one of them, which is not on the list anymore, at Mandarin Oriental in Miami. But I got to find where we said that the other 5 stars were, the triple 5 stars, because that's really special when you get those things. It's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Let off.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And by the way, I love that we're talking about Forbes, because both you and I have worked at 5-star properties.
Yes.
And I have to say, I've worked at 5-star, I've worked at 4-star. And you know, there is really something to those ratings, especially from like an employee standpoint, and being there and being part of the team that helps get it to be 5 stars. I mean, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. And we've seen too, we've talked about this, I think once before, maybe offline, is that there are 5-star hotels that really work hard at it. And it's just like grinding every day. But then I've been at one that everyone actually cares. Like, they show up and enjoy going to work and have that warmth, and it just comes off natural. So getting those 5 stars is not a grind every day. It's just something you do naturally, because you have to hit certain standards that they give you, but a lot of it is how you feel. Like, a lot of people don't know that. It's like, did you leave feeling a certain way versus like, did they say hello, you know, within 30 seconds? Did they seat me down in 1 minute? Did my server come by in 1 minute? Right. There are a lot of those, but it's also how you feel when you're leaving those places. So I like seeing
that. Totally. And I mean, you know, these are, I'm trying to remember the exact number, so I can actually speak for Concierge, because thank you for joining us for a live. Be sure ask us questions.
Chris, first time live. Welcome, man. I hope to see you next week too. But if you have any questions while we're going, let us know.
First time live, long time listener.
First time caller. Well, here's the 3 hotels that earned their exclusive triple 5-star. We got to shout them out.
Oh, yeah, please do.
These are important. The Salamander Middleburg in Virginia, Horse Country achieved the trifecta with their Harriman's Grill and Salamander Spa. The Rosewood Miramar Beach in Montecito, California won with the 5-star honors.
Beautiful.
And they've got the Ritz-Carlton Grand Cayman captured the Caribbean's first ever triple 5-star title.
Woo! So I have stayed at that property. Well deserved.
Congratulations to those hotels. And one other unique thing, our friends at Montage Hotel are the first ever hotel company, all 5-star hotels. Mm-hmm. So Montage, congratulations to our friends there. I got to give a shout out to Mary Rogers over at Laguna Beach and Armando, who are the GM and hotel manager. They do a great job. So congratulations to everybody.
And by the way, if you've ever stayed at a Montage property, that is no surprise. But it's so great for them to get that recognition. I mean, they really, it's top notch across the board. And what I love too is that you get phenomenal service, but each one of their properties is so unique to their respective destinations. So it's elevated, it's consistent, but not cookie cutter. So yes, huge shout out to them for that.
And I also want to say there's a lot of people who lost stars, and I know it can be devastating if you lose a star. So keep your head up, start today.
Yes,
making your goal if you want to get that star back. I know how hard it can be because I've also worked in a property where you're aiming to keep that 5 stars and not maintaining.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. You can be 3 stars and achieve a 5-star bubble rating in your operation.
Yeah, that is all about how you make people feel.
Totally. Right? Well, and I will say this. Do you remember, because you were part of the, when they would come and do the ratings.
Absolutely.
In concierge, I can't remember the exact number, but I feel like there were actually like 95 or 98 things that we were, I don't want to say tested on, but they monitored and they rated us on just for concierge. It was something crazy like that. So
no, it's nuts. I know those standards inside and out. And if you don't use the guest name 3 times, you're already way behind. So you got to use the guest name. You got to make people feel like they have a warm welcome. Just start on those things and you're way ahead of the game because the rest, most of us are doing.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. So a huge shout out to this list. We know we're a little late to the game, but still
Only a week late.
Yeah. You know, there were things going on, but super excited for everybody that's on that list and so well-deserved. Well, why don't we move on to our next topic here?
Yes, the Michelin guide. So now we got the Forbes guide we talked about. Now we're bringing the Michelin guide in because they're starting to do some big things here. The Michelin guide spots 19 restaurants in Florida.
That's by the way, and I love that we're talking. I know that we're kind of hyper focusing on Florida, but I think this is awesome and unique because keep in mind there was actually a period of time where there were no Michelin rated restaurants in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So the fact that there are 19 restaurants in Florida. Talk to me a little bit about this because this is like your neck of the woods.
Yes, this is big news. So yes, 2 years ago, Michelin announced that they were coming to Florida. And it was a whole big campaign to get the Michelin guide just to come to Florida and start rating restaurants because we knew that we could compete with the LAs and Chicago's and New York's here in Florida, down here in Miami and in Fort Lauderdale. And Tampa now is blowing up. So you start seeing that a lot of people are moving from around the country and bringing their talents. Just like LeBron James back in the day, they're bringing their talents to South Beach. They're bringing their talent to Miami, Miami Beach. And we're seeing these amazing restaurants that are striving to be excellent here. Mm-hmm. And they're all different kinds. It's not all ultra, ultra luxury, you know, where you can't get in. One of them, which I'm very proud of, is for my friend, Chef Guillermo. He has his restaurant Osa Buco here in Miami.
Yeah.
It just opened 6 months ago. And now he's on this list. And so ultra proud of this guy. Really bet on himself, open this restaurant, and now you see it happening. So if you're coming to Miami, you got Osa Buco restaurant in Wynwood neighborhood.
Oh, I love that story. So that's a great reminder of, you know, if you've got a vision and you stick to it. I mean, if he's only been open 6 months, that's a relatively short amount of time. So for him to get this rating, like huge. Shout out to him. Okay, I'll make a note that when I'm in town, I'm definitely
we'll go
gonna
over
come
and
there.
Say hello. We'll go say hello.
Sure.
It just shows you for all of you working in hotels because this was a long time hotel chef decided to go out there, chase his dream, raise some money with investors, and now is crushing it with celebrities there, and it's the hot spot, and people want to go. So if you've got a dream out there, you know Sarah and I both worked in hotels, and we chased that dream down. So
start
doing something, start achieving it if you want to go.
Totally. And I love this because I love just seeing also Michelin guide just expanding as well too. Because there was, as a concierge, obviously I always like to say concierge 101, it's always the restaurant recommendations. And there was a period of time where people would come to LA and, maybe they're from New York or other parts of the world. And they were like, oh, we want to only go to Michelin rated restaurants. And I was like, well, at the time, we don't officially have them, but we have some phenomenal restaurants. And it was this weird, it was this weird position that we were in, because LA was definitely, and I don't know if you can speak to this for South Florida, but definitely LA for a period of time there, people from different cities would actually like look down on the food scene in Los Angeles. So it was like, yeah, Los Angeles doesn't have good food. And now it's so cool to see, not only are there great and well and highly rated restaurants, but they're even influencing, you know, the food scene in different parts of the world. So
it's true. Cool. People used to hate on it. Oh, this is not New York down here. It's no, Miami's just a party place to go and party. But now that branding, those stars and those awards mean a lot for all these restaurants. And I love that we're talking about restaurants today, because that's my whole background. We haven't talked about restaurants, I don't think.
Yeah.
In a long
time. I know. I love that. By the way, if you guys like that we're talking about restaurants, if you want us to incorporate that a little bit more, I mean, I have a background in restaurants. I, you know, have had a very short-lived career as a bartender.
And hostess at the Four Seasons restaurants.
Yeah, hostess at the Four Seasons. Hostess with the mostest at the Four Seasons. But no, I worked at a couple restaurants and bars as well, too.
And Chris saying, I just need the bright line to complete the track from Tampa over so I can hop over easier to Miami. Listen, that train's coming, and I love that train. And, you know, sorry, we're getting sidetracked here. That bright line train is run by all hotel people. That's why it's such a great train.
So, give a shout out to – so I see – and I'm not based in South Florida. I see people talk about bright line all over the place. Like, so it's actually run by hotel people?
Yeah, it's the best. So Patrick Goddard, who has been on my other podcast, The Hospitality Mentor, was a longtime hotel person, worked at luxury hotels, and he built every station to feel like you're at a hotel lobby. So the bars and the restaurants and the places you're hanging out, that's why it feels so nice. It is a little pricey for the first class tickets, but you can get on the smart ones, and it feels awesome. I take it all the time.
Well, I love this. And I'm glad that we got to do a little shout out to Brightline, because again, it's this example of people that have maybe worked in hotels. I know we've got, obviously we are hoteliers. We've got a lot of hoteliers that chime in, but how you can take what you've learned and maybe to apply it to other elements of the travel and hospitality space. So love seeing that. I was actually just having a conversation yesterday with a limousine company, and they just recently brought on somebody who had worked in hotels, and he was creating SOPs for the drivers and this whole checklist and all of that. And even just in hearing that conversation, it was a wonderful way of just hearing how they're kind of like elevating their service and making sure that they have a standardized expectations of those that are, they're offering the experiences. So, what's up, time. Brian? We got Brian joining us here.
Brian joining us live. Good to see you, man.
Good morning.
I love seeing how hospitality gets applied to other industries. We talk about that a lot just in our wrap ups usually, but it's so much fun to see it in unique ways.
In the wild. Mm-hmm. we got another one here. I figured you would like this. So, and also kind of interesting, and it maybe not necessarily the hotels, but there has been a surge in first timers going camping.
Amazing.
Camping. I mean, this is cool. I have to say that, I mean, we certainly saw it a lot during the pandemic where people were just seeking different ways to get out there and travel. And by the way, I am always just a fan of people traveling. It doesn't matter where you stay, whether you stay at a hotel, whether you stay at a home rental, whether you stay in a tent, it's okay. An RV, the fact that you're just getting out there, all of that is part of the big travel pie. And that means people are outside their homes. They're spending money in restaurants. They're checking out little boutiques. Like, all of that is great. So I love seeing this. Are you a fan of camping, by the way?
So I am.
Okay. So yes. Steve needs a place to plug in his hair dryer.
I haven't. Yes. I got to get my gel right now. I can get rugged out there. It's with my family that needs a little support here. But I love seeing that everyone is getting more outdoors. But every time I go to a national park, I come back feeling recharged. And so I want that feeling more and more. And I'm actively working on creating a place to go camp in a little bit more of an upscale environment, but still having that connection to the outdoors. Because I think there really is something to it. I know there's a lot of cultures that go bathe in the forest, with just going walking through the forest, I mean.
Yeah.
Right? Forest bathing.
Yeah.
And I just think that I want to be a part of that more, and I want my family to be a part of that more. So if I can get them maybe a toilet and a shower in that as well,
there are
to go to the outhouse, There's so many cool places doing that. And so one of them that I know is a friend of our multiple shows is Ben Wolf over at Onera has done a lot of cool stuff, and he's continuing to do some awesome things. But then the luxury hotel brands are doing it too, right? Like Aman has got all their great places that they're creating that are tented camps. I love seeing all the people now exploring safaris, but not just in Africa. They're doing it in other places. So it's so cool to see that this is taken off. But to see that 84.8 million Americans went camping in 2023, that's pretty awesome.
So that's how many. And then 5.5 million of those were first-time campers. That's so cool. Oh, by the way, what is it? Oh, it means staying in a Fairfield Inn. That's cute. That's cute. I love this guy comment from Steven Sinclair. He was saying that he likes watching camping ASMR on
YouTube. I like those too. Have you seen those where they're just like kind of setting up? Steven, I agree with you. I like watching those where it's like raining outside. They're setting up their tents and it's like them just cooking in this tents. It's a good background video if you just want to read or do some work.
Oh my God. No, I have not. I've actually never seen any of those videos, but you know, I'm into it. It's so cool. So to give you perspective, I mean, it's, what is it? It was 45.5% of campers. Basically the number has significantly increased and we've just seen more people opting to experience camping, and definitely from the, since the pandemic. So since 2021, I mean, it's huge.
Oh, I love it. I think it's going to continue on. More and more people want to be outdoors. The hotel leaders that I've been talking to, it's also a good business decision. They said, look, I can build a cool camping destination for half the price of a fully built luxury hotel and also get double the average nightly rate. It's a pretty good business model too, if you do it the right way.
And I'm going to do a quick shout out to Wander Camp. That was one of my favorite experiences. We did it in Bryce Canyon. They have these beautiful tents and they actually have it set up that they've got, I mean, it's like in between ground of glamping, but they've got these comfortable beds, these beautiful, tents there that you've got there's definitely like bathrooms that you can go, you can shower in, all of that. So, but it was a wonderful way to get out into nature. And I loved that trip. Love that trip. So I definitely want to make a point to get back out there as well. Cause I agree with you, dude. It's like, it's not, I'm a big fan of being in nature. So
yeah, we're gonna do it more. And look, I want to bring something up to all of you creating something out there. We got one of our first haters on here saying that they're 13 minutes into this and they're getting their first topic. Let's put that on the screen so we can call out Blue Dog Traveler for hating on us. So we'll let our community hate on this guy a little bit. Whenever you create anything, there's always going to be haters. Don't mind that. You're just helping the algorithm with comments. So thank you, Blue Dog Traveler.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Okay, let's get on to some travel topics here. So, you know, American Airlines, I don't know why this was news breaking, but it was groundbreaking. They are going to be raising their baggage fees. It's the first time in 5 years. So I guess that's kind of that part's kind of a big deal. But again, this reminder that one of the ways around paying these baggage fees is joining their loyalty program. So what a way. And they're not the only airline that does this. You know, I know Delta does it. I believe United does it as well too. But again, what a wonderful reminder, being like, you should just join the loyalty program and start earning miles and you don't necessarily have to pay.
But the second bag, no matter what, is $45. So they raised that up. And so,
yeah, they did.
Right. I guess I don't know the business model of flights well enough, but I'm sure that goes straight to the bottom line. They got to cover increased costs of employees and I don't think fuel, but we got to kind of see what's going on out there. But $45 for an extra bag, it start adding up with a family. I guess what I learned. You to fly anywhere, it's ultra expensive now.
Actually, that's a really good point, because it's one thing if you're just one person, another thing if you're two. But so this was good. Stats on glamping. Do more people do it more than once? We'll just quickly come. They found that, I mean, like some of the stats have definitely been, it's since 2021, it's now more than 20 million have had their first time camping experience. But I do feel like once people start camping, it kind of...
Either love it or hate it, you keep going. But we're going to get the stats for you, because I want to know it too, Christopher. So I'll make a promise. We'll have this for you in the comments below after we find out.
Yes. Okay, cool. You ready to talk about Delta Airlines? What's going on with them?
Yeah, let's talk about Delta Airlines.
Okay.
Give it to us. So airlines offering a path of totality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give me the update here.
Give it to me. Okay. For all of you space nerds out there, like me, I don't know if I call myself that, but April 8th, there's going to be a historic solar eclipse. And for those that know that might have hotels within that path line of it, which is, by the way, this one is for a good chunk of the United States. I mean, we've got hotels that are doing packages based on this. And I love that different airlines are really getting into this, because this is very unique. Is that sometimes it's a pretty narrow path. You know, sometimes they'll do like a path from it's like Texas, Utah, like up to Washington, that sort of thing. But now this is actually the path of totality. It covers more of the United States. And Delta, I'm so bummed, by the way, that I cannot participate in this, because I was about to buy this flight, but they are actually going to be doing a flight. It's Delta flight 1218 from Austin to Detroit on April 8th is going to basically view the eclipse during its peak, which is so cool. Put it specifically on a different type of plane, which has larger windows. I think that is so cool to be part of a solar eclipse viewing on an airline. By the way, I would love to find out the people that just happen to randomly choose that flight. And they're like, what's going on here? What's going on here? Why is everybody on here? Then you've got probably like 80% of the flight are all like really into the solar eclipse. The others are just like, I was just trying to get to Detroit from Austin.
And I hear my earpiece, Will Slickers behind backstage saying, what happens if the flight gets delayed?
Okay. Will being no. Okay. Delta.
It'll be on time.
It will be on time. And not, and the solar eclipse doesn't last for 1 second, bro. Okay. And also the other thing, most of the time when flights are delayed, I'm getting riled up here, but most of the time when flights are delayed, it's because they're delayed from the plane coming from the destination before. So my guess is that plane is going to be there ready and waiting at least a day ahead of time. So there will be no flight delays. Hopefully there's not a storm.
Wow. Fired up, Sarah. I like it.
I did. Early morning energy.
Fired up today. But I like seeing this, that they're creating an experience out of something that's just, you know, a flight that most people don't think of. It's just kind of a way to get somewhere, not having that be the experience. So it just shows you can think of things that way and make it that way.
And by the way, this eclipse is going to last more than twice as long as the last one that occurred in 2017. Okay. And the path is nearly twice as wide. So just putting that out there. I'm super excited about this. I'm actually going to be on a cruise. I think I'm on a cruise that time, or just getting off of the cruise. I don't know. We'll figure it out. If I'm not on a ship, I'm going to be on that flight.
And Chris saying his daughter lives in Waco, Texas, and the hotels are getting over $500 a night for the eclipse. Wow, that's amazing. So it just shows you that the tourism for this kind of, we talked about it, the space tourism, getting astrological tourism. I forgot the term we use, but it's amazing to see that. If Waco, Texas, you're getting $500 a night. If you're in that path and you haven't raised your rates or done something special, get your picnic basket special ready and the glasses packaged with it and start selling them.
Yeah. We had a partial one just outside of Austin last year in October. And I happened to be with my family because my cousin was getting married that day. And it was such a fun experience. Like, we all got the solar glasses. We were taking pictures. Like, it was this cool thing. So highly recommend it. It's awesome. It's awesome. Okay, let's go on to our final topic before we wrap up today. I can't. First of all, what's funny about this is I just came back from Nashville, and this story takes place on a flight from Nashville to Los Angeles. Well, not just on the flight, but also in the airport. A passenger was actually able to board a flight from Nashville to Los Angeles without a boarding pass.
Was this you?
No,
I feel like this is you because you were leaving Nashville to Los Angeles.
This was February 7th. I have an alibi. I have proof. I don't know where I was on February 7th, but I was not on this flight. I can tell you that.
Interesting. The picture looks very similar.
Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. That would be one way to make your splash as a.
How is this happening? I can't even get past airport security without taking my shoes and socks and belt and computer and jacket and hat off. And this girl just like strolls in.
No. And not only that. So keep in mind, it's not just on the plane. Okay. Like she had to get past like TSA. You have to show your boarding pass and ID check. They scan your ID. So the fact that she got in and then
also got on the plane.
And then also got on the plane. And then where did she sit? Like, was it not a sold out flight?
Just lucky. Yeah.
Like, how do you, like, you just kind of play, like, how did she figure out where to sit so she wouldn't cause a scene? I got questions.
Yeah. And it's not the only incident of its kind. A British man was reportedly arrested for flying from London to New York mm-hmm. without a boarding pass or passport in mm-hmm. December. So people are just like strolling on the planes and country to country.
By the way, this was a crazy story that came out a couple months ago, but there was a child, 6 years old. And so, you know, if you have a child that's traveling, they have, there's like really special protocol and they have to have an attendant with them at all times, obviously. And he was flying, I think, to Florida and was on Spirit, and he ended up on the wrong flight to the wrong city in Florida. And I don't understand how that happened. He was literally escorted by an employee onto the wrong flight. Like, yeah. Did they not say, oh, was there somebody that just didn't happen to be in 15A? I don't understand.
He got home alone. Got on the wrong plane.
He did. This is just wild. So going to show you, people are getting a little bit more relaxed at the airport, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to get more interesting, right? Because we reported a couple of weeks back that now certain airports are allowing people to get into the pass security, right? And hang out where the flights are. Yeah. So Airport day passes to hang out at the airport and mm-hmm. just watch people walk around and say hello. And
there's a lot of money in airports. We'll probably have to talk about it next week. But London Heathrow has new ownership. They're going to be putting some more money into it, expanding it. And one of their big things is that they want to make sure that people spend more time in the shopping area at Heathrow Airport. So we'll do a deep dive into that topic, but I just read that this week. So, you know, there's something to be said for all of this.
Yeah. I love seeing it.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Real-time recap?
Real-time recap. You want to go quick?
Something you experienced this week in hospitality or in your personal life for the new viewers that you found interesting. Yeah. So an example of great service or a reminder of where we can do better.
Mm.
So mine, something unique. Mm-hmm. It was my daughter's birthday, and we went to an old-school roller skating rink that I used to have my birthdays at back in like the 1980s and 90s, and it was a great flashback to a time that I just found it was awesome. Very nostalgic in there. Phone service doesn't work in there, so you couldn't really use your phone. So you're just into the moment of being with your family and friends and roller skating around to great music. The food can maybe use some work. Maybe we'll give them some hospitality training in there. But a unique experience that I would love to see more and more people start looking at some of the stuff we used to do back in the day that we did with each other, because I think that we miss a lot of that.
Yeah. So,
anyhow, that was a great experience at Hot Wheels.
Oh my God, I love that. It's called Hot Wheels. That's so great. So great. I'm going to do a quick shout out to the team over at the W Nashville. This is now my second time staying there. And I love that property. Their hospitality, everybody from the housekeepers, everybody that I interacted with was so sweet, so genuine. I got to have some bites and some drinks on there. They have a rooftop kind of like enclosed bar area that also you can open up the doors, but there was a rainstorm happening at the time, but beautiful property, amazing service. And I mean, imagine, I've only stayed here twice and I'm like, oh, this feels like my home away from home when I'm in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And love what they do. So huge shout out to them. That's relatively newish property. So only about 2.5-3 years old. Oh, wow. So, but they're doing it right. Yeah. They are doing it right. So love them for that. Okay. Our quick hospitality quote before we wrap up today. I actually don't know who is the author of this, but this is a great quote.
I wrote that.
Excuse us. Customer service is not a department. It's an attitude. I love that. How simple is that?
It's just what we talked about with the Forbes rating, right? There's certain hotels that you have to grind and work at it. And I think they have the mentality that is a department. And the ones that say it's an attitude are the ones that you could truly feel it. Like when you're staying at that W Nashville that
totally
feel like they truly care.
100%. And I'm going to do random shameless plug for whenever this comes out, but I was interviewed in a podcast. I do improv on the side here, some whatever. But I was interviewed on this improv podcast. And what was interesting about this discussion, we were talking about improv, but then as I realized I'm talking about my professional career, so much the key, the tenets to improv is yes anding. And that is so much the heart of hospitality. Yes, and yes, going with what the guest is requesting and throwing at you. And just like this is customer service, it's not a department. It is an attitude. So I just had to kind of tie that in because.
Oh, I love it. And yes, and I will be live at the Wine and Food Festival all of this week, starting tomorrow, the South Beach Wine and Food Festival. So if you're going to be there, let me know. We've got a lot of fun events hosted by the Food Network with Rachel Ray and Guy Fieri and Bobby Flay and all the great chefs
will
be walking around the sands of South Beach. So many fun events, over 100 events this year for the Wine and Food Festival.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that'll be cool.
It'll be very good. Next, come next year, we're going to be coming.
I was about to say, next time I'm coming, okay? I'll make it happen so I'm there at the same time. I like that.
Deal.
Done. All right, guys. Well, that's our show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I know we went a little bit over, but we talked about we had some things to talk about. Some things.
A lot of great things. A lot of great things. And remember, get Sarah's book if you haven't got it yet.
It's all about how you feel. There you go. All right. Yes. See you guys next week.
Welcome to Good Morning.